Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
They will not shut up and dribble. Attention must be paid.
There's things that I have to worry about that Chris and Mike and you don't have to worry about.
I would tell the players, don't rush because of the pressure. Now we've got to come together and find solutions.
Today's guests, NFL Network reporter Jim Trotter, Yahoo Sports senior NBA insider Chris Haynes, Pro Football Hall of Famer Michael Irvin, Grammy Award winning artist Tim McGraw, actor Courtney B. Vance. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show here on a Friday, closing out our first week of hopefully many, 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 many years to come right here on Peacock TV. We're thrilled to be here with you on the streamer as well as NBCSN, SiriusXM, the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. It's our quadcast. Good to see Chris Brockman at your post right there. Mike Del Tufo is off. What's he doing today? He's
boxing.
Boxing, great. Boxing, terrific. Yeah. Mr. Jason Freeman sitting in for him right there. Honestly, we could get somebody maybe polar opposite looking of Mike Del Tufo. And Jason would be right then and there. Very good. Good to see you, sir. So, boy, there's lots going on in the world. And so let's get right to it. According to our friend Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports and The Athletic, he's locked in on college football and college sports.
Indeed.
Echoing the report that came out about an hour ago in the last hour from USA Today Sports that the Big Ten is beginning to want to call a little Omaha. And it's interesting that Omaha would be the word because Nebraska sued the Big Ten through a couple of the, what would we call them? Online students, on-field athletes that sued the Big Ten for its decision to postpone the fall season and push it to the spring. And Bruce Feldman is saying right now, Big Ten coaches are on a call to say, how does Thanksgiving sound? To start the season, an 8-week season that starts in Thanksgiving. So maybe the Justin Fields of the world would still be comfortable putting their professional career on the line. I don't know how that would work if the SEC and the Big 12 and the ACC goes off as planned, how the Big 10 would, you know, fashion into whatever championship that college football would put together. But that's for I guess a different time later on down the road, but the Big Ten saying, hold the phone. And potentially the news that came out this week that the Food and Drug Administration of our great nation giving an emergency authorization to Abbott Laboratories for what appears to be a rapid antigen test. I don't want to get too deep into it. I try to read up on this stuff in the same way that I try to become a labor law expert during the NFL lockout of 2011, in which I did lose much of my hair, if you want to talk science. I'm trying to read up as much as possible on public health and epidemiology. And honestly, when I read about it, Chris, I thought maybe we can get one of those whatever it is. It's not a machine. I guess it's a card or system for the studio.
Yeah. We can have, have guests.
If it's 15 minutes.
Exactly.
And, but again, what I'm reading is it's to test people who have shown symptoms within the first 7 days of their symptoms showing. It's not for asymptomatic people just to take that whatever is on the card, which is similar to a pregnancy test, where one line would show up if you're one thing and two lines would show up if you're not.
Right.
That that whatever's on the card that would react to your DNA or whatever you put on the card is only attuned to people who are showing symptoms. I don't know how this basically what I'm saying would work to try and get sports back on the field, but I guess something is better than nothing, and the Big Ten must have some sort of health experts looking at this. You know the coaches didn't want to stop.
Right.
I mean, my coach sent out a release the day it happened saying, hold on a minute. James Franklin has been outspoken, Ryan Day of Penn State and The Ohio State, respectively. But this is now something we'll be keeping an eye on over the three-hour edition of the Rich Eisen Show here. Will the Big Ten announce Thanksgiving weekend they're back? Because this test that I'm saying, the rapid test, apparently 50 million of them will be available starting in October. That sounds like enough.
It does.
If it can actually make sure we know who's got it, actually accurately has it, who doesn't have it, actually accurately does not, can separate, trace those who have it, trace who they've been in contact with. You could get kids in outside a facility. Everybody takes the test within 15 minutes. You get the results. If a retest needs to be happening within a half an hour, you get everybody's results, and then you can have a clean practice field or a clean game.
Seems like we can do this.
It's what it sounds like. I don't know if it's true. Because whatever you think looks the case may not be the case. Case in point. When the Bucks said they weren't going to take the court 2 days ago now, feels like 2 years ago now, but 2 days ago now, the Bucks said, we're not playing today. And I guess the Magic were already out on the court, and it dawned upon them, okay, there is some form of protest coming from the other locker room. Let's see what's up. And then that game got canceled. And then what seemed like to be within the hour, word that the Rockets and the Thunder were not playing. And then Lakers and Blazers were not playing. And it was clear that the NBA was not playing, right? Then we saw what happened in the world of baseball. We had Dodgers manager Dave Roberts on yesterday explaining how they decided not to play their game on Wednesday night between they and the Giants. It just seemed like even though the Magic were caught a little bit off guard, it seemed like there was some sort of unity, didn't it, Chris? With the players.
I think so.
Well, Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports, who's joining us at the top of the second hour, with a fascinating report today. Not the case. Not the case. Bucks caught everybody flat-footed. And there was a meeting, that meeting that took place with the players that night on Wednesday night, filled with rancor. And including LeBron James, who was in the meeting, essentially, while clearly understanding why the Bucks took the position they took, and clearly upset about what's going on, certainly in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and our country across the sea to shining sea, was taken aback by the Bucks' move, caught flat-footed, and upset that it was a step taken without full concept of what the end game was. That if you're going to take such a radical step, know what your plan is about what you're going to be asking and what circumstances need to materialize outside of the bubble for you to say, I'll play? When you're taking such a radical stance of withholding your services. And in this meeting, Chris Paul, who's in charge of, he's the president of the NBA Players Association as a player, brought on the union chief, Michelle Roberts, who was explaining to the players, as well she should, the financial ramifications of tapping out on the playoffs. This is what it would mean now, and with a collective bargaining agreement around the corner. This is what you would understand the stance that you're taking and how important it is about what we need to change in the world. Understand all that. But guess what? Once the dust settles, this is what the financial ramifications are. And according to Chris Haynes, Michelle Roberts was interrupted not once, not twice, but multiple times by Patrick Beverley of the Clippers and was told to basically pipe down by Chris Paul. It got a little bit heated and out of hand. Whew. And then, and I can't wait for Chris to tell this because I'm just paraphrasing his remarkable report, Udonis Haslam, who's been in the league for a long time, who is also in the hierarchy of the Players Association, turned to LeBron and basically said, hey, what you say has a lot of weight here, because if you don't want to play, that means we all have to kind of figure out what to do next, because you are who you are. And the thing that I kind of didn't get fully from Chris's report, and that I want him to try and fill in the blanks, is how LeBron went from asking the Bucks, why'd you do this, mm-hmm. because without knowing how it ends, to he and every Laker except for Dwight Howard, who prior to the bubble said he might not even show up in the bubble because of these things that were happening in the world. Every Laker then walked out of the meeting, saved Dwight Howard. And the Clippers and Pat Beverley and Kawhi, apparently, got up and followed him. Remember the report comes out that the Clippers and Lakers just voted to cancel the season and got up and left. And then the report's like everybody decided to sleep on it. And then the next day, everyone decided to play the season.
Oof.
Right?
I mean, I can't wait for the 30 for 30 just on that meeting.
So there's a lot that went in the meeting that Haynes put into black and white in print on the screen for me to take in, and he's going to join us at the top of the next hour. Lots to talk about with him. And then I just called Irv. I'm like, you know what, Michael? There's a lot going on in the world, and this is what we're going to talk about with Jim Trotter first up in about 8 minutes' time, is what about the NFL? And you could see we've got two entertainers of note in our third hour. Tim McGraw, the Grammy Award winner, who we last spoke to in Nashville at the draft, what seems like 19 years ago, but it really was just, it was last year, 2019. So Tim will be joining us at the top of the third hour, and then Courtney B. Vance in Lovecraft Country on HBO, and I will leave it to him to describe the show, because it is all kinds of amazing and wild, and he is amazing, and he is in it, and he will join us in the third hour. TJ Jefferson, Clipper fan, note, joining us as always in his spot. And then you where you are at 844-204-RICH. Irv was going to join us because Jim Trotter tweeting out today that he's spoken to some NFL players who are thinking of not playing an actual regular season game to make their feelings known. And Jim will be joining us first up to discuss the tweet that's on the screen warning owners in the NFL to be careful. A few prominent black players are telling me they want to set out a game to make their feelings felt and force change / action. They're tired, frustrated, and emotional. It's only a few at this point, but sparks become flames and flames become infernos. And the Ravens, I don't know if anybody saw the Baltimore Ravens statement.
Powerful.
But it was the most action-oriented, detailed, and it's not meant in statements. Usually don't get granular when you certainly tweet them out. It was 3 pages long, 3 screens long. Please put it on the screen right here. The Ravens using the phrase enough is enough bigger than sports. Racism is embedded in the fabric of our nation's foundation, a blemish on our country's history. Statement from Steve Bisciotti's franchise. If we're to change course and make our world a better place, we must face this problem head on and act now to enact positive change. It's time to accept accountability and acknowledge the ramifications of slavery and racial injustice. And if you thought that was the end of the statement, no. They started talking about actual action items with places to go and follow up about registering to vote on the local and national level, prison sentencing reform that's fair and equitable, needing to be demanded. Every citizen needs to act with respect and compliance when engaging with the police. If you feel there's been an abuse of power, we encourage you to contact your police department's internal affairs unit and put Baltimore's such number on the screen.
Yeah, so many people ask, well, what's now? You do this, and what do you want to have accomplished?
Right.
There it is. They wrote it out.
Including the fact that the officers responsible for the killing of Breonna Taylor and the shooting of Jacob Blake need to be arrested and charged. Demand Mitch McConnell bring the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act of 2020 to the Senate floor for the vote that's been sitting there for weeks. I mean, look at the detail on the screen from a National Football League franchise. Way to go, Steve Bisciotti and the Ravens, for being about it. There you go.
There you go. We'll see what happens now.
And in terms of things not appearing what they seem to be, I don't want to really get too deep into it. But, you know, Dominic Smith, what he said the other day of the Mets was so moving and so remarkable. And then to see last night, with Jackie Robinson, we don't have to show it now, we'll play it later, but Jackie Robinson, night, right? Coming up. Was it last night or it's tonight?
Tonight.
Right. Mets took the field with the Marlins for 42 seconds. We all know that 42 is the number that has been retired across the country in baseball. Mariano Rivera was the last one to wear it. He was grandfathered in because he was still wearing it when baseball decided to retire the number across all 30 clubs, number 42, Jackie Robinson's number. 42 seconds they stood on the field in silence and then left the field. A remarkable show of unity that would have been even more beautiful had we not had the general manager of the Mets, Brody Van Wagenen, picked up on a hot mic saying that it was the idea of Rob, the commissioner of baseball. You got that sound? Let's play it now. Go for it.
They're saying, it would be really great if you just have them all take the field. Then they leave the field. And then they come back and play at 8:10. And I was like, what?
Who's that?
Rob. Everybody's job scheduling is going to be a nightmare. There's so much at stake. And I said, Jeff, that's not happening. These guys are not playing. They're not playing, but that's Rob's instinct. And Rob, not exactly what you and I were talking about. At leadership level, he doesn't get it. He just doesn't get it.
So Rob is the commissioner of baseball. Jeff is Jeff Wilpon, still, for the moment, current owners of Wilpon family of the Mets. And honestly, Wilpons aren't great.
Nope.
And on occasion, they make Dolan look like Branch Rickey. This is one of those moments because I think that's in their studio, their SNY studio. So the general manager of the Mets caught on a hot mic slagging on the commissioner of baseball, which, by the way, if the idea was for this to happen and then keep the players out for an hour, because what, that would be respectful enough time before getting them back on the field because they're so tight on the schedule that right. They got to play every single game when they play it because baseball couldn't get their you-know-what together in time to have enough of a season to not have their backs against the wall to have to complete it as fast as they possibly can because they couldn't get their you-know-what together. Yes. Which I can't express enough. If that was the idea, that is ridiculous. But apparently, Brody Van Wagenen came out and said later on in the day, and apparently he did, that the hot mic that caught me slagging on the commissioner, my bad, it wasn't the commissioner's idea. It was the Mets owner, Jeff Wilpon's idea. So I'm not slagging on the commissioner, but my immediate boss? I mean, is that what that was? Or he said that it was miscommunicated to him, apparently, that come back in an hour thing.
Whose idea it was?
I don't, or he didn't know that they just really wanted to come out and make that statement and leave.
Right.
Because it is absurd to say, make your statement, but still play the game, when clearly you don't want to play the game for all the reasons that we saw Dominic Smith put out in the world. So you see this beautiful show of unity between the teams on behalf of Jackie Robinson, and then you just go, oh, my goodness. Oh, and by the way, the Mets in a statement, putting out everybody's statement, Wilpon's statement, misspelled the first name of their general manager 3 out of the 4 times in which it appeared. So your team's got it all in order there, bud. I'm telling you, it's okay, because you're Sixer and Cowboy and Clipper. You've got it all. Well, hold on a second.
Don't forget the store.
But Cowboys, you know, out of respect to Michael Irvin, we'll point out what happened in the 90s. But you have the Cowboys, which will give you the excitement on occasion. Just start rooting for the Yankees. It's okay.
Wow.
We got you. We got you. We got you.
Now that you say it out loud, it seems like I don't have anything.
I made that. Wow. I made that decision. I made that decision in the 70s, mm-hmm. as like a 7-year-old kid. I was already worldly enough to know that the Jets and the Rangers, who I was rooting for because my brother did, were not going to give me the championships, and his Mets certainly weren't. So I'm going to start rooting for the Yankees. It's worked out for me. I'm a 51-year-old man. TJ, mm-hmm. just do it.
I mean, I'm not opposed to the Yankees, but
right.
one of my best qualities, I think, is, you know, I'm loyal. Like, I got to L.A. in 99. No, I could have hopped on that Lakers bandwagon with Shaq and Kobe, but I didn't. I stuck with the Clippers.
Out of respect to Jim Trotter. Okay. Out of respect to Jim, let's take our break. We'll be back in a second.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. BetOnline to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Back on NBC Sports on Peacock, the NBCSN audience will rejoin us in about 60-some-odd seconds' time. You saw our list. We're 5 wide today. Jim Trotter's about to join us from the NFL Media Group. And Chris Haynes, the playmaker, Tim McGraw, and Courtney B. Vance. We're going to be 5 wide on NBC Sports on Peacock in about 2 weeks, because right now PFT Live with Mike Florio kicks things off at 7 in the morning Eastern time, and then DP takes everybody right up until the start of this show. That gets re-aired at night right now. But starting in September, Brother from Another with Michael Smith and Michael Holly will join the NBC Sports on Peacock lineup that will finish up with PFT PM. Well, PM. Now, normally when you take something that's PM, it's to put you to sleep, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Like Tylenol or something like that.
Oh,
not PFT.
No.
Not PFT PM. Does that mean Florio's going to come back after waking up at, like, you know, crack of dawn?
Yeah, 3 a.m. and come back and then recap the day, I guess.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll find out, won't we?
Can't wait to watch.
We'll find out. Okay, we're back on NBCSN with the rest of our group from the radio world in just a matter of seconds, right here on the Rich Eisen Show on a busy Friday. And we are back on NBCSN and the rest of our radio crew. Joining me right now on the phone, his tweet this morning certainly got our attention. We had Emmanuel Sanders on the show yesterday, and I asked Emmanuel, if there was a preseason game right now, tonight, would the Saints and would other members of the NFL not play it? He said that they would, that he didn't see, you know, why taking away a game in which his colleagues would need it to make a team would be something that the rest of the NFL players would be willing to do. But again, let's put Jim Trotter's tweet up here. NFL owners should be careful. A few prominent black players are telling me they want to sit out a game to make their feelings felt and force change action. They're tired, frustrated, and emotional. Only a few at this point, but sparks become flames and flames become infernos. Very vivid imagery from my colleague from the NFL media group, Jim Trotter, back here on the show. How are you, Jim?
I'm good. How you doing, Rich?
I appreciate your patience hanging on hold here on the on this Friday.
I love hearing about the RichEisenShow.com.
I appreciate. You know what? There's my phrase is, if not me, who, and if not now, when? So
you know, it applies to so many things in life.
No doubt. So walk me through your tweet and all the way from your information gathering to you hitting send on it.
Yeah, you know, Rich, I had been hearing some of this yesterday. And particularly after the Lions decided to cancel practice, and even within team buildings and team meetings, there have been players who have brought this up and raised the idea of players sitting out games. But I guess what really got me this morning, in the 6 o'clock hour, I got a call from a player, a very prominent player, and he was really emotional about it. And said he had been crying for 3 days, and said enough's enough, and he believed that a real statement and cause for action could be made by black players sitting out a game. And it was something he was going to talk to other players about. So, again, you know, people want to go from A to Z right away when a tweet is put out. And that's why I tried to make it clear that this is not some large group of players that I've heard from. It is a few. But the fact that a few prominent players are talking about it could spark, you know, sort of a movement among these guys. And I'm not going to lie to you, Rich, the call this morning was unsettling, you know, to hear a man that emotional and that much pain about what's going on. It truly is bigger than football for some of these guys. And that's why I think the owners would be smart to be proactive on this instead of reactive. And what we know about the NFL traditionally is that it is a reactive league and not a proactive league. And if it doesn't prepare for this, potentially it could not be pretty.
Well, and again, I'm going to have this conversation with Chris Haynes of Yahoo, whose report today about what the players discussed Wednesday night after the cancellation of games. You know, the conversation that apparently the players even had first blush in the NBA on Wednesday night. Is similar to, I guess, the question I'm going to have here is what would be considered concrete enough action to prevent a player from sitting out, or this
right.
player
I,
that
look,
you spoke
Rich,
to today?
The answer is different for everyone, obviously. I mean, players aren't a monolith, you know. But I would say at the end of the day, the one thing that all of the black players that I talked to want is for unarmed black people to stop being killed by the police.
By the way, plus now, one on that, Jim.
So how do we get there becomes the question. And I think with players at this point who are starting to discover their voice and starting to discover their power and how much power there is in unity, I think what they would like to see, at least what I'm hearing from owners, is they want to see the owners step out front and be a partner in this and not just put out statements and make donations, but to actually be out front and use their political capital and political influence that they have to try and make change. And, you know, and I've thrown this out there, and this has not come from a player, it's just me speaking, is that we know the league is involved with a voter registration drive, which is tremendous, and there is talk of opening up stadiums for polling places. But how about if the owners got out front on camera with their players and said, for instance, we want and we demand that the voter rights reform bill by the late John Lewis be put on the Senate floor, which Mitch McConnell has not brought to the floor. Those sorts of things are action. Those sorts of things can lead to change. And I think that's what players are looking for now from ownership. is to step out front with them, to be visible, and to try and make change. And what I was told yesterday by a union source is that back in 2018, when the NFL and the Players Association were discussing changes to the anthem policy, that one of the things players left there with was a sense and a feeling from some owners that these owners were going to use their political influence, and that's the term that was used to me, political influence, to make real change. And so now it is about that. I think players want to hold owners accountable on this. And so I think that that's a step in terms of moving it in the right direction. Because, look, Rich, the reality is that the players have demonstrated to raise awareness. They have sparked conversations. And yet unarmed black people are still being killed by the police. That's the reality.
Jim Trotter, my colleague from the NFL Media Group here on the Rich Eisen Show. Well, what have you spoken to any players about? I guess would the Ravens statement that was remarkable in its detail that you I've never seen something like that from a sports franchise, let alone an NFL franchise. Is that something that would be considered substantial?
Sure, but if you read the statement, and I applaud the statement as I did yesterday, but if you read the statement, it says we can demand these things. Well, let's take out the word can and just say we demand these things. I mean, it's one word we're omitting there, but it makes a world of difference in terms of possible change. So, and I'm not trying to in any way put down what the Ravens did. I think it was tremendous to have an ownership group step out front and again and recognize the core issue of what's going on here, just as the 49ers did when they put out their statement back in the day about systemic racism being at the core of everything that is happening here. So, but let's take out what we can do and let's say let's do it, you know? Stop talking and be about the action.
What did you think, Jim, and what other players that you're speaking to think of the commissioner's appearance on Emmanuel Acho's program?
I truly, Rich, I haven't talked to them about that, and I think you know my feelings on it because I spoke on it on air. In my opinion, that was not uncomfortable at all. The only ones that was uncomfortable for were for the listeners who were waiting to hear real questions be asked of the commissioner on that. Look, when the commissioner says we could have listened earlier, well, you heard the players for 2 years. You saw them demonstrate. You heard what they wanted. You even negotiated with the Players Coalition to come up with a program to try and address some of these issues. So to say that you didn't listen, that's not true. You heard them. You chose not to listen. You chose not to act on it because after 2 years, you went into an owners' meeting and changed the anthem policy to prevent players from demonstrating on the field during the Star Spangled Banner. So, again, if I'm doing that interview with the commissioner, among the things I said that I would like to have heard ask is, number one, we know that the commissioner's father stood up on principle, stood against President Nixon during the Vietnam War, mm-hmm. at the cost of his job, showed tremendous courage. Well, I wonder, did the commissioner think about that when he was thinking about how to handle the Colin Kaepernick situation when Colin took a knee? You know, back in 2018, when the owners changed the anthem policy, was there ever any consideration given to the fact that when you change that policy to prevent these players from demonstrating on the field during the anthem, that the appearance is that you value your pocketbooks more than you value a black life? You know, back in 06, when Roger was named commissioner, he went out and met with Dr. Harry Edwards. And Dr. Harry Edwards told him at that time, the demographics of the league are changing, and more black players are coming in, and they're going to become the face of the league, and they are not going to leave their communities at the locker room door. So with a decade to prepare for that moment, how is it that the NFL was so unprepared when Colin took a knee? And lastly, after he took a knee, Dr. Edwards also told Roger, do not make him a martyr. And yet the owners turned around and made Colin a martyr. So for me, those are things that I would want to hear answered, you know, if I were doing the interview with the commissioner at that point, just some of the things.
So that's what you thought of the interview, huh?
That's what I thought of it.
Oh, so what's the next?
It made me uncomfortable.
Well, so what's the next step, Jim? What do you think here?
The next step is action, Rich. It's not about talk anymore. You know, it's not even about demonstrating anymore. It's about action now. And if the NFL is a family, as we've seen in the slogans and the ads and this, that, and the other on television and whatnot, then owners, step with your players. If you believe that what they are fighting for is right, then stand out front with them and make change. Use that political capital. Look, we know it's been reported that 9 of the top 16 sports donors to President Trump's inauguration or reelection campaign were NFL owners. And you only pay that kind of money for access and influence. Well, now use that access. Use that influence to try and make real change, to make legislative change, systemic change. That, to me, is progress in this fight because, look, Rich, this isn't going to be solved in a day. It's not even going to be solved in a year, you know. But what you do now lays the foundation for what comes going forward. And for instance, when I talked to that player this morning, he said, we understand, you know, that we're trying to do something for the generation that's going to come behind us. So to discount or to minimize what these players are feeling and what they are thinking, in my opinion, would be a grave mistake by the owners in the NFL at this point.
Last one for you, Jim. Where is Kaepernick now? What is happening with him?
Don't know.
Football, also, you know, being public, face front, social justice-wise. He does a lot of stuff, as we know, with his organization behind the scenes, or let's just put it this way, not publicly to put out a statement, right? Like he does, he does things, but the question is like, what now? I'm like, where is he right now? You don't know, huh? Nobody knows.
I don't know.
I hear nothing. I hear nothing. I really hear nothing.
We've been told that, but I can't speak on where he is or what's happening right now.
Does that is that odd to you, or is that, or is this, you know, what do you think, Jim? Seriously, about it?
No, it's not, look, Colin has made a decision on how he wants to go about handling this, and even back in as recently, I shouldn't say as recently, but as far back as 2017, 2018, I was told that one of the reasons he does not speak a lot publicly is because he does not want the media to be able to twist his words and change the narrative as they did when he took a knee during the anthem. So I understand that, but then you have another group that says, look, if you want to be the face of this, then you have to be out front on it. He has chosen to handle it this way. That's his prerogative.
Jim, I really appreciate it, I always appreciate when you come on the show, and we'll chat again soon. Football's literally right around the corner, and it's exciting, and it's also anxious. There's a lot going on, but it sure looks like this is going to go off in a couple weeks.
Rich, you got to have me on next time to talk about something lighter.
Jim, how about next week? But you never know.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. I'll have you on it because, I mean, I'd love to talk with you about, you know, the game. But obviously the real world is bigger than the game.
No question.
So thanks for the time. Appreciate it, Jim.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
No, I know, Jim. But, I you know, your tweet certainly caught my eye, you know. So I just wanted to have you on get a little bit more information behind it. And I appreciate you delivering it.
RichEisenShow.com.
That's true.
I got you, brother.
That's right. Thank you very much, Jim. That's Jim Trotter, everybody. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show. There we go. It's Jim Trotter underscore NFL, right? So just get
Correct.
It out there
Correct.
As well. Yes. He's mentioning our we should return in kind.
Yes.
When we come back, you know what? We will have a lighter NFL conversation. Because something happened last night I want to bounce off you.
I'm here for you.
In the NFL world.
I'm here for you.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com, GEICO.com. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your calls in a second. I am to our Peacock audience. I have my phone out here, and I've got a lot going on.
yes.
I'm reading right now the NBA and the Players Association of the NBA put out a statement officially announcing that they're coming back on Saturday to enact the following commitments. And I just want to take that in, and you know, we'll talk about it a little bit more when the NBC SN audience returns in just a matter of seconds here. Because again, that's obviously the question here is what does it mean And what did the last, I guess it'll be a three-day hiatus mean? And the NBCSN audience has returned to the Peacock audience. We're all back together here on the Quadcast. Chris Haynes is going to join us at the top of the next hour on Yahoo Sports. Chris had a very detailed account of what went down in the players' meeting on Wednesday night after all the games on Wednesday were canceled, Thursdays as well. Tonight there will be no games. The NBA and the Players Association of the NBA, including Executive Director Michelle Roberts, who was in that meeting on Wednesday night, which was part of Chris's report, which we'll get to in a second when my Chris chimes in. But the statement just appeared in my inbox here, and I want to read here because it says there are commitments. And this is clearly what players needed to hear to get back on the court, right? And that's what we just talked about with Jim Trotter. It's like he said that there's action will be required. And as a matter of fact, Frank Reich, the Colts coach, and Chris Ballard, the Colts GM, just spoke on the field to reporters outside with the players behind him saying that action is needed. Time for conversation is over. They want action. The question is, well, what's the action and how will the teams use their influence and power, as Jim Trotter said, mentioned again just in our last chat moments ago, that teams have it. How will they use it? How can players help, you know, bring them about to exact it? So here are the commitments. One, the NBA and its players have agreed to immediately establish a social justice coalition with representatives from players, coaches, and governors, which is, I believe, right, Chris? That's the other word they use for owners, correct?
Correct.
In the NBA?
Yeah, the Board of Governors.
Right, that they will be focused on a broad range of issues, including increasing access to voting, promoting civic engagement, and advocating for meaningful police and criminal justice reform. Two, in every city where the league franchise owns and controls the arena property, team governors will continue to work with local election officials to convert the facility into a voting location for the 2020 general election to allow for safe in-person voting option for communities vulnerable to COVID. If a deadline is passed, team governors will work with local election officials to find another election-related use for the facility, including but not limited to voter registration and ballot receiving boards. Again, that's important. I mean, obviously, as we know in this country, we're talking about how ballots can be received in a timely manner and counted. The League 3 will work with the players and our network partners to create and include advertising spots in each NBA playoff game dedicated to promoting greater civic engagement in national and local elections and raising awareness around voter access and opportunity. These commitments follow months of close collaboration around designing a safe and healthy environment to restart the NBA season, providing a platform to promote social justice, as well as creating an NBA foundation focused on economic empowerment in a black community. We look forward to the resumption of the playoffs and continuing to work together in Orlando and in all NBA team markets to push for meaningful and substantial change. End of statement. There you have that. Let's take this phone call because we're going to be jam-packed with conversations in hours two and three here on the Rich Eisen Show. Sean in Washington, D.C. called 844-204-RICH. You should as well. What's up, Sean?
Hey, how's it going? First-time caller. So I just wanted to call in and just commend yesterday's radio show. I thought it was remarkable.
Thank you.
I thought you all handled it with utmost care and class, and I just wanted to call and just say great job for yesterday.
Wow. Thanks, Sean. You're not a member of my family, right? Correct? We don't know each other. I have not planted you to call in from Washington, D.C., correct?
No. It's actually funny. I'm not a regular listener. I kind of listen like when I can.
All right, Sean, stop talking now. That's not what we
but I also wanted to make two additional points. So,
yeah.
You know, for the people who are both sizing this issue, you know, the number of people killed by police in this country last year was over 1,500. The number of people killed by police in the United Kingdom, a similar kind of culture, was 3. You know, why is that? And the police in this country clearly have shown a propensity to take people safely when they want to. I mean, they took the guy from, you know, Golden Roof. He killed 9 people in a church, and they took him to get Burger King. The kid who shot up Park High School, they took him without a bullet fired. So why, you know, why can they take people safely in instances who have proven to kill people, but yet every day when I log into Twitter, I'm seeing another black man get killed. And it's really disturbing. And, you know, something clearly needs to change because it's awful.
Sean, I appreciate the call. And I appreciate the kind words about the show. Hopefully you'll listen more regularly and take us in whenever you can. That's Sean in Washington, D.C. Your comments yesterday were particularly moving for a lot of people, T.J. Jefferson, yesterday on this program. Did you hear from people that you hadn't heard from in quite some time? That's because your comments certainly were shared quite a bit.
Yeah, I was pretty amazed, you know, when you asked me yesterday if I wanted to say something. I had a lot to say. Didn't know where I was going to go until you actually gave me the floor. But yeah, a lot of amazing positive feedback.
That's
people
great.
I hadn't heard from in over a decade.
No kidding.
Text me during the show, like seconds after, to say that they were watching. And it was, you know, I got the word brave a lot. That's not what it was about. It was not, I mean, that's, to me, that's not being brave. I'm just trying to, you know, share a story,
yeah,
try to give someone another thing to look at.
But it is brave what you did, because you poured yourself out. That's why. You opened your heart. You opened your mind into a microphone. And people interpret things when they hear it different ways. And you are yourself. That is brave.
Well,
you know,
that.
We love you, man. We do. And I'm not just saying that because Wilmer Valderrama shared the comments on his Instagram stories to his billion followers. Because, again, as we people learn more about you, how long have you known him?
Oh, man. Me and Wilmer, we go back like a car seat, man.
Chris, I have heard so many
Wilmer stories, but yes.
We go back to like 2000.
That's great. Phone lines are lighting here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Tom Brady spoke today after he worked out at Raymond James Stadium, his first time throwing in a home stadium, not Foxborough or Gillette. Right? Didn't you start in the old Foxborough? Started in the old Foxborough where people...
The final game at old Foxborough was the snow game. The game that you guys like to refer to as
the Tuck Rule game. Well, not you guys. The rest of the world refers to it as the Tuck Rule game. You in New England refer to it as the snow game.
We call it the snow
Correct.
Game. That was the last game at old Foxborough.
So it's the last time he threw in a home... The last time he threw in a home stadium, not... New England was, I have it.
Oh, you got it?
I have it. I looked it up, bud. The date was November 20th, 1999, when Tom Brady, stop me if you've heard this before, a fourth quarter game-winning drive with 5 minutes to go, a touchdown to beat the Ohio State University in a comeback win. And then, by the way, he stomped Alabama and the Orange Bowl and still wound up 199th overall, which is why he's Tom friggin' Brady. Okay.
I say this over and over again. The Bucks tweet out these like play of the day for practice.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, a little piece of me dies every time.
Get used to it. Get ready, bud. It's coming. Wait till he starts winning football games.
It's just.
And so meanwhile, back at the old ranch, Bill Belichick, I believe, zoomed with the media for the first time since he kicked off our first Peacock Week, kindly calling in to our show. When I asked him of a rule change, he would want to wave the wand and go ahead and say, we'll call it the Belichick rule. And he talked about visiting pass interference for a possible change. And the question is, obviously, nobody wants to have an objective call, flip a field because it's a 50-yard penalty because of a bomb downfield, a 50-50 ball leads to an interpretive dance move by a referee. And so Belichick just wants it to be consistent with college football is what he said. So either college adopts the pro rule or pros adopt the college rule of just being 15 yards. So I believe Ben Volen, right?
Ben Volen of the Globe.
Of the Globe decided to follow up. And I do believe, and we always appreciate this here.
Of course.
Getting a little bit of credit. Go for it.
You did an interview the other day, I think it was with Rich Eisen, where you said you'd like to see a little more consistency in the rules between the NFL and college football. And one of the things you brought up was the pass interference rule. And it sounded like you're more in favor of the college pass interference rule. And I'm just curious why that is.
Well, I was asked a very general question, and I do think that the more that those rules can be consistent, I mean, right now there are over 60 differences between the college and professional playing rules, and, you know, I think that's somewhat confusing for fans. I mean, in all honesty, the rule book is difficult for coaches and players at whatever level they play in. You know, the one thing about the colleges is that they have players at a younger age than we do, and so they can train them in certain areas. And so if they're being trained in those areas, and then for us to, you know, change the training, you know, things like defenseless players and personal fouls and, you know, rules like that, roughing the passer and all that, the more there's consistency, the more that flows for the training of the player. And when you go from one thing in college to the same situation, but now it's officiated differently at our level, then that can be somewhat challenging and confusing. I would like to see the process smoothed out a little bit. I understand that they're two separate bodies and, you know, that it is what it is. But if I could think the question was, you know, if I could have a change, what would it be? That would be kind of along the lines that I would be thinking. So
there you go. So to the New England media, you're welcome. That's number one. Number two is, again, it was Coach's first time calling into the show.
It was.
So maybe I should text him, let him know through the Patriots that you are allowed to shave after appearing. You don't have to, like, go without shaving before your next appearance, because if that happens, that's how you look like Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, like, man, you know, yeah.
Like, we got to tell Ben, dude, shave it off. You don't have to wait till you call in again.
Didn't Joe Manganiello, did I hear that right? Did he tell us that he saw that photo and then called Ben and was like, yo, you got to shave?
I think he was joking, but because it's Manganiello who's tight with everybody, like I was, if we didn't go down a Dungeons & Dragons wormhole with him and then talk about Bubbles the Chihuahua with him, I would have asked him for an update on Ryan Shazier because he's tight with him.
Right, right.
So it is believable.
That's what I mean. Like,
when he's like, I called
Joe,
Ben.
Right.
But interpreting Manganiello as I've come to know him, I do believe his tongue was planted in cheek when he said he called Ben.
50-50.
I think he called him.
I don't think he did.
You don't? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just assuming that of all the Steelers with whom he is tight, I don't know if Ben is one of them.
Got it.
Fully.
Okay.
Okay.
I will text Joe to get an answer because now you've piqued my interest.
Right. That's what I mean.
You say that like you know something.
I don't know
because
anything.
Because if you
if I knew
lately,
something, I would do it in a heartbeat. I would let you know.
I mean, Ben looks trim.
I know.
Clean shaven.
But back when that photograph came out, and it was just like, is there a new member of Duck Dynasty? And you're wondering if that means Duck Hodges is actually going to be part of the Dynasty still. But he's ready to roll. And we are for hour number two here on this program. Chris Haynes will be joining us next. And you're saying the Clippers have already come out and said something, right?
A few have, yes.
Okay. All right. Here we are on the Rich Eisen Show in a second. Okay. Somebody's FaceTime audioing me right now. Hold on a minute. Let's get
Is
him
it
back
Shaq
here. Hold
again?
On a minute. Hold on. No, no, no. Hold on a minute here. It was Manganiello. hold on a minute here. I couldn't get it, Joe. Let me try and actually FaceTime you instead of audio FaceTime you. Here we go.
I don't get when people do the audio FaceTime.
Here we go. All right, Joe, you're on live. You're on live. We're FaceTiming. You could take the phone away from your ear.
Okay, so who has money and how much?
I think you did not call, Ben.
Look, I think you did, Joe.
Did you call him?
Oh, I'm betting the farm he called him. Absolutely.
I absolutely did.
I should never put anything past you. Ever.
Wait, and what did he say?
I was trying to get him to keep it, though. I was like, just hold out. Hold out, brother. I said, but, the day that I shaved mine, my wife kissed me more in that one day than the entire 6 months previously when I had the huge beard.
So I just thought you were, I thought you were joking and flexing at the same time.
Well, I mean, joking and flexing, that's going to be the name of my autobiography.
There you go, everybody. All right, we're back in a second. Bless you, Joe.
All right, man.
All right, bye.
Well, here we are on lockdown. How are you? It's Booker of the Perez Hilton Podcast with Chris Booker. We get it. We know you're bored. We're still doing shows. We're keeping you up to date with everything entertainment. A little bit of relief from everything that's going on in the world. You can get the show on Spotify. You can get it on your Apple Podcasts or the Podcast One app. Whatever you do, download and subscribe and get the PHP, the Perez Hilton Podcast with Chris Booker, and everything that's entertainment will be covered.